He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better.
Geraldo.
77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
It's sad. So sad. So sad. Why can't we talk it over? Oh, it seems to me that sorry seems to be the hardest word.
Sing it, Elton. Big rally on the stock market. I don't know if they'll say they're sorry for yesterday's snafu. Speaking of saying you're sorry, yesterday I had a rare argument with my lovely wife, Erica. It was about a totally trivial matter, as they often are. In this case, it involved which after-school activity would be most beneficial for Saul, our almost 10-year-old. So Erica wanted to get more involved in math and science, and generally I said she should do more physical activities like swimming and soccer. Okay. So you remember the old movie Love Story?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Way before your time, but you look it up. It's good. Anyway, the tagline was, love means never having to say you're sorry.
Right. I've heard that before.
Baloney. Sometimes love means swallowing your pride and apologizing, even if you're not 100% sure you were really wrong in the first place. So to make a long story short, last night I got impatient. I raised my voice. 5 minutes later, I put my macho tail between my legs, told Erica, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I apologize for being a jerk. I apologize for being a jerk. And that's just what South Carolina did last night, and that's what they're going to do today with the Confederate battle flag. Even though the flag has considerable support among many South Carolinians for reasons that range from understandable to unsavory, the House of Representatives, thank God, voted last night to remove the flag from the Capitol grounds. So it's like the whole state, all the white people in South Carolina suspended their reservations and said they were sorry for the legacy of slavery, sorry for Jim Crow. But regardless of that, they're especially sorry for the awful church massacre that left 9 good people attending that Bible study slaughtered in cold blood. They said they were sorry. South Carolina said they were sorry. The governor, Nikki Haley, who I think would be a great vice presidential candidate for the Republicans, said, and I'm quoting, it is a new day in South Carolina, a day we can be proud of. This bill passed by the House and the state Senate earlier in South Carolina calls for the flag to come down within 24 hours of her signature, which will probably happen sometime this morning, if not this morning, certainly by this afternoon. Which brings me, kind of backing into this, to Donald Trump and his inability to say that he is sorry for his noxious statements about Mexican immigrants. You know, I tried. I talked to him for a half hour privately, speaking to my friend, my former boss on Celebrity Apprentice. I love the guy. I asked him to apologize. I asked him to apologize for wildly inaccurate comments that he made about drug dealers and rapists. And now you know the statement's almost by heart. You also know, because I reported it to you, that Trump refused to apologize and he keeps painting himself into the shrinking corner of the political world, appealing to the hardest, hardcore anti-immigration forces in the land. Now, ironically, or most damagingly, in terms of the GOP, because it's the rightest of the right wing that votes in Republican primaries in this fractured field, almost 20 candidates, guess what? Trump is so far benefiting from his brashness. He's sitting in second place in the 3 early primary states. He's even higher elsewhere. North Carolina, I saw yesterday, he's number one. 16% in North Carolina. But Republicans are worried that Trump's inflammatory comments are not merely hurting Trump's political rivals, He's damaging the Republican brand now. The Republicans not stupid. The people that run the GOP, they realize that you need a fair chunk of the Hispanic vote if the party hopes to recapture the White House. And it's intense. So intense that yesterday, the head of the Republican National Committee, Rens Priebus, spent 45 minutes, almost an hour, according to various sources. Trump denies this, but according to various sources, this conversation took place yesterday with Priebus trying to convince Trump to dial it down. Instead, and you have to marvel at the man's stubborn confidence, despite losing lucrative business deals, he lost another big deal with this hotel in Washington, D.C., Spanish restaurant, what's the guy's name?
Famous chef, yeah.
Famous chef. He says, I'm not going to go through with this deal in Trump's big Union Station hotel. Big deal. So the Spanish chef pulls out now, and that's the, you know, you had Macy's before that. You had these various outlets. You had the golfing people. You have all kinds of stuff. NBC, Univision, Miss USA, so forth. But Trump refuses to apologize. He keeps feeding the beast of controversy. And he's actually retweeting that Jeb Bush has to like the Mexican illegals because of his wife, Jeb Bush's wife. Imagine, you can't do that. Attack a guy's wife because she's born in Mexico? Come on, Donald. I love you, man. Not too late. You know, Trump's probably not going to win the nomination. I mean, I guess weirder things have happened, but I don't think he's going to win the nomination. But he, without a doubt, has tapped into the outrage over illegal immigration in this country. He's unleashed an impassioned conversation about border security, which is fine. The fact that many Latinos view his approach as tinged with racism, too bad, Trump says. He's not backing down. And the longer he stays the man to beat, the odds that the GOP will recapture the White House, forget about it. What do you think? 866-HERALDO, 866-437-2536. What's the market up now? It was up almost 200 points. So we're watching that. I'm going to talk to Charlie Gasparino from Fox Business. Up 180 now. All right, so what do you think about Trump? What do you think about having to say you're sorry? Is John in Brooklyn? Thanks for calling, John. Your first call of the day. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Geraldo, and let's get it going. Why do white people always have to apologize in America? I didn't see any Mexican groups apologizing to that dirtbag who gunned the woman down on the pier with her father. I mean, this is ridiculous. I don't owe the black race anything, and I don't owe the Mexican race anything.
You may not owe them anything. I don't understand what exactly your point is, that you don't have to apologize to Mexicans. No, you didn't say anything about Mexicans.
I'm making a general statement that we have to apologize for what this sick individual did to those black people.
Who says you have to apologize?
Well, the state legislators in South
Carolina
South
Carolina knew that that flag represented something egregiously offensive to black people, particularly in light of the slaughter.
Can I respond to that?
That's why you're
once
on the phone.
Once again, our leaders are out of touch with our people. I had called Governor Christie's office several years ago when he wanted to lower the flag for Whitney Houston. And after getting into a debate with one of his top aides, he told me that he understood the people were against it, but he thought it was the right thing to do. I'm getting tired of our leaders telling us what we have to do when it's against our wishes. And this is a pattern in America now, Geraldo, and it's getting to be ridiculous. You have to see that.
I don't see how stubborn intolerance is a good thing. Now, you, John, you're a private citizen. I got a million other calls I got to get to. You're a private citizen. If you harbor whatever ideas you harbor, that's your business. You're not running for anything. If you were running for something, then you would be forced to take positions and state the ideas like you just did. And then there'd be certain people that said, you're right, John, you're right. Yeah, you know, I've got nothing to say I'm sorry for. And other people would say, okay, well, I'm not going to vote for John. I'm voting for Mary. You know, that's fine. Trump is running for president. He's not a private citizen anymore. He's a public
figure. But why is it resonating with the people, Geraldo?
Well, he's resonating with people like you, John. I guarantee it. I understand that. Hey, listen, it is people like you, dude. It is
people like me.
It is people like you. People who are intransigent in your thinking. And you say, be damned, the other people's feelings be damned. All right. I want to hear from everyone, whatever your feelings are. I've got to take our first brief intermission.
Before you do that, though.
I can tell by the lines being lit up that people want to be involved. And Noam Layden, you're first.
I don't want you to think that I wasn't paying attention to everything you said. So is Sol going to more swimming and soccer, or is she going to be doing more math and science
whatever
after school?
Whatever her mother wants.
Oh, okay, just curious.
18 after, that's a great question. 25 minutes after 10 o'clock, James on Long Island is the first up in this segment. James, what's on your mind, buddy?
Good morning, Geraldo. Listen, I just have to say, you were telling the last caller, John, that he likes Donald Trump, be damned to everybody else. But you did the same thing 3 years ago, but it seems like you don't remember that. When you said you're voting, you said Mitt Romney was better for the economy,
right,
but I'm voting for Obama because of immigration. So basically you said damn with everybody else.
Well, that's an interesting point. I don't know that, you know, when I voted, and it's absolutely true, that I agreed with Mitt Romney's economic platform and told Rince Priebus, who was shocked when I told him the day before Election Day that I had decided that I had to vote for President Obama's reelection because of gay marriage, abortion rights, and the other one was immigration. And it's absolutely true, and I told him that. You know, I don't think it was a mistake. I didn't say that to hurt people's feelings. I wanted all of you listening to know where I stood. I thought that it was
exactly
the right thing to do. But I don't think I hurt people's feelings by doing that.
No,
I may have infuriated you because you disagree with me politically.
You did say to damn with everybody else, I'm voting for Obama for this. So this guy's saying the same thing about Donald Trump.
Well, I get your point. I don't agree with the comparison, but I understand your point.
The second thing is President Obama's been lying through his teeth for 4 years now.
About what?
About Obamacare, okay? And don't you think it's refreshing to have somebody that's willing to speak the truth?
I think that is an interesting point you make, James. And I think that one of the reasons, and I appreciate the call, one of the reasons Trump is faring so well in these early polls is precisely because people see it as refreshing. The problem with being refreshing is it's one thing to be frank, but when you start saying things that hurt people's feelings for very little reason, what's the benefit to Trump for hurting the feelings of the entire Mexican nation? How does he benefit from that? You could accomplish the same exact result without using such harsh language. Yes, it is, in a sense, very frank. If frankness was that big a virtue, we'd all go around saying, hey, you know, Jack, have I told you lately how fat you are? Or, you know, Mary, I'm meaning to say, you are really ugly. Or, you know, Jaime, did I tell you that I hate Jews? You know, nothing personal, I just hate. Or, Sammy, did I tell you that I can't stand people from Latvia? You know, frankness and rudeness are often the same thing. One is okay, the other is unacceptable. I think rudeness is a good way to characterize how Trump has been speaking of Mexicans, not just Mexican immigrants, but Mexicans. And to imagine to retweet and then to stand by it, he's subsequently finally backed down on that, but to retweet that, of course, Jeb Bush, who still leads Trump in the first three primary states, Jeb Bush retweeted Trump, has to like the Mexican illegals because of his wife, Columba, who was born in Mexico. Come on. Really? I mean, this man, Trump, is one of the most impressive people I've ever met. He took his father Fred's modest business and made it a multi-billion dollar multinational corporation. Still, you have to be held to a certain decorum. You want to be president of America? Or you just want to be president of that sliver of the population who agrees, as you do, that this brown tide is flowing over the southern border and threatens to drown the nation? I know that there are some people who believe that. I happen not to believe that. I think America thrives with hybrid vigor. That's what makes us different than other nations. But I mean, I'm not even arguing the substance of it. I understand in the talk radio business that most people disagree with me. I get that. I understand that I am in a minority. I understand that Trump's views probably represent more Americans than mine do. Certainly more white Americans than mine do. Still, you can say whatever you have to say without being rude and insulting.
I'm sorry, so sorry, that I was such a fool. I didn't know love could be so cruel.
Oh, I was singing this last night.
Still singing it this morning, I guess.
Still singing it. And I want, and South Carolina is singing it beautifully. I mean, bravo, South Carolina. I love South Carolina. I love you now. I love Donald Trump. I just wanted to say he's sorry. He could say the same thing. I like to say in this program that everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome. This is the one place I want everyone to feel that you could be at home. You could come here and you could kvetch. You could tell me your point of view. I'll try my best to listen. Sometimes I'll be impatient. If I'm impatient, I apologize ahead of time. All I want is for Trump to say he's sorry. I want someone at the New York Stock Exchange to say they're sorry for whatever that screw-up was yesterday. And I had this vision of my entire wealth being wiped out from some Chinese hacker that got into the account somehow and when the market was shut down and robbed me. Now, I don't know what happened, but it happened on the same morning as the United Airlines shut down. I don't know. What, other things also shut down, right? I
mean, Wall Street Journal's website went down.
Wall Street Journal website. Charlie Gasparino is the best financial reporter in the nation. If he can't tell us from Fox Business and Fox News what the hell happened, nobody can. Charlie, welcome. Was this terrorism?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they kind of knew what happened early on, and it was an internal technical glitch, which happens at times. And here's the whole thing. And just kind of look at it from a common sense standpoint. If this was really a terrorist attack, they wouldn't have attacked the most insignificant part of the U.S. capital markets, which went down yesterday, which is why no one's wealth was wiped out, while trading continued even in the stocks that were affected by this stuff.
The New York Stock Exchange is the most insignificant part of the financial world? I always thought it was like the center stone.
That's what everybody thinks, but it's not anymore. And actually, the part of the New York Stock Exchange which it took down, the guys that trade on the floor really don't do much of the trading at the New York Stock Exchange anymore. It's done largely through a computer. And so the New York Stock Exchange wasn't really down. It was operating pretty much as normal without the floor guys involved. The floor guys are an insignificant part of what they do now. I mean, it's just the way the equity markets, the stock markets have evolved. It's mostly computers. And the way they evolved is those stocks that trade on the New York Stock Exchange, you could trade them in other exchanges.
But so, I get that. But how could the person that wrote the code for the New York Stock Exchange make an error that is glaring that it would be this dramatic?
How did the flash crash happen 2 years ago? How did the NASDAQ you know, thing that occurred, their screw-up that occurred in 2013, which was actually worse because the way that screw-up went, you couldn't actually trade the NASDAQ stocks anyplace else or even on the NASDAQ stock market. That was a sort of...
But why did the market go down 250 points then?
China.
Had nothing to do with this?
Nothing. Zero. China, Greece, multiple bad headlines, and this was insignificant. I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't a few points involved here, but it was...
So you promise.
I swear on my mother's grave.
All right. Charlie Gasparino, not only a great financial reporter, also a very a man of faith, and I trust you. If you swear like that, I
swear on my mother's grave. This might have taken 40 points off the Dow.
Amen. Amen to you. Amen to you, mommy. So what do you think of what Trump is doing to his brand?
You know, it's a good question. I like Donald, too, you know. You know, I started adding it up yesterday, you know, like how much money he lost. It's really quite insignificant if you think about it. It's about 50 to 80, depending on how much you think these various, you know, licensing deals are that have, you know, including The Apprentice and everything. It's between 50 and 80 million. If, you know, he says he's worth 8 billion. Forbes says he's worth 4 billion. Maybe I'm missing something, but this doesn't do anything to him. He's still really rich. And, you know, I think there are a lot of Americans that, you know, I'll tell you, Geraldo, I've been very critical of his statements, of especially the Mexicans being rapists part. I've been very critical on Fox News and Fox Business about that. With the caveat is that I like the guy. Okay. I think I don't think he's a racist. He's a decent guy. Those were very, very bad words that he used. That said, you know, that stuff resonates with a lot of people. I mean, I'm talking to people, and they're saying, well, he's kind of right, isn't he? And I said, well, no, he's not right. I don't think there's a rape epidemic at the border. But, you know, there is a problem there with crime when you have so many people just coming in all at once. You get a lot of poor people. And I said, I remind people, by the way, this is what they said about Italian-Americans a lot. People forget that, you know. They've said it about every immigrant class come into this country. You know, Irish, Italians, you know, Hispanic, Puerto Ricans. It doesn't matter. Okay, it's been said for years, and so you just got to put yourself in the Mexican shoes. That doesn't mean there's not a problem there. And I think, so some of this stuff resonates. And I just wonder, you know, knowing Donald, he's a great marketer, that he thinks, you know, in a year from now, he's going to be out of the race. And he's going to take his brand to a national stage. He's going to be put up on the stage with Jeb Bush, with royalty, political royalty of this country. Jeb Bush and Donald Trump are going to be on the same stage together on some of those debates because he's got a lot of publicity. And that's going to take his brand even further.
What about the Republican brand?
Well, that's a whole other story. Listen, I'm not a nativist. You know, how can I be a nativist? My father-in-law is from Italy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a nativist. I think the Republicans have to be careful. Listen, one of the problems I think is that, you know, Ronald Reagan would never have described the border problem as Trump did. You know, there is a problem down there. You know, we can't say there is. If you say there isn't, you're wrong. There's a crime problem. When you got a lot of poor people coming in, even if 90%, which I believe are good, I mean, you know, you're going to get an element. It's just the way it is. It's the law of averages. Doesn't mean it's not particular to Mexico. It's particular to any country.
I agree.
And so you're going to get, when you get unfettered immigration, you're going to get a crime problem. That is a serious, serious, serious issue. It should not be talked about in, I think, the way that Donald did. I think he made a mistake.
He should say he's sorry?
You know, getting an I'm sorry from Donald is like...
Tell me about it.
It's never going to happen. And, you know, I don't think he... I mean, just from a political standpoint, he would have to. But I don't think from his brand standpoint. Like I said, he's not losing enough money. I added all that
50,
up.
80 million. That's a jump change if he's as wealthy as Forbes says. I mean,
if you're worth even if you're worth a billion... Okay, you start discounting, like some people think that Donald's not worth half as much or a portion of what he's worth. I mean, Forbes has done a pretty exhaustive job. They say 4.5 or something like that.
That's a lot of dough.
It's a lot of dough. And if you're going to take $80 million out of his pocket, he's going to say, okay, good. I spend that on my bar tab.
Right. He's got if it's $4.5 billion, so he's got 4,500 million. So take 80 out of that, you're still 4,400.
If he put that stuff in a treasury bond, he'd make more in interest. I mean, it doesn't matter to him.
Charlie, thanks a lot for coming on.
Anytime, Geraldo.
Charlie Gasparino, the best in the business. I'll take one other civilian. Here's Lou in Brooklyn. What do you think, Lou?
Geraldo, you know, listening to the debates go on about, you know, should Trump say sorry or not, and, you know, should he have labeled them Mexicans? You know what? The problem, okay, I will say, it's not 100% of Mexicans coming through, but there is a problem with Mexican criminals coming through the border, and if nobody wants to hear that or label it as such, then tell that to the law enforcement families that live across the border, that it's not being publicized nationwide, where these law enforcement officers are having their homes invaded, they're being killed for their uniforms, vehicles, and firearms to get taken back across the border so they can load up into the cars and look like they're being driven across legally. This is happening all the time, and I can't believe it's not being publicized. But sometimes I think to myself, if it is publicized, then it kind of takes away, you know, Obama and Hillary's agenda for immigration.
All right, Lou, I appreciate the call. I think that the whole thing about crime on the border, I still believe. Now, I saw people are saying, I had this fierce debate with Hannity. You know what? I'll play the debate I had with Hannity. I'll do it at the top of the next hour. The debate I had last night with Hannity. I say these undocumented immigrants commit crimes at a lower rate than citizens. I saw Breitbart, which, of course, is a right-wing web publication. They said that I'm wrong, that they have statistics of the crimes that undocumented immigrants commit. The problem is the crimes that they are citing that the immigrants commit are the crimes of crossing the border. That's a crime. Or the crime of using someone's Social Security number or a fake Social Security number, that's a crime. Those are the vast majority of the crimes that these undocumented immigrants commit. When it comes to the violent crimes that everybody is afraid of in their popular image, in Trump's words, the drug dealing and the raping and the murdering, I just think that everything that I have said and seen is based on research done by people without a particular axe to grind. And they say that this population commits crimes at a lower rate than citizens. New York, Los Angeles, two of the safest cities in the world, two of the cities with the largest population of undocumented immigrants. On the other hand, cities like Baltimore, Cleveland, Detroit, Trenton, Newark, cities with very small Latino immigrant populations. I'm going to get to your calls. And the big debate between me and Sean Hannity coming up.
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories. Only on 77 WABC.
I say Trump should say he is sorry. I had to say I was sorry last night. How you doing? I had to say I was sorry last night to my bride. What do you think? Frankie in Brooklyn, hey, man, you're on. What's up?
Geraldo, good morning. I'd like to know, I've said this before on your show, as a matter of fact, but let he who's without sin cast the first stone. Is there a politician out there that hasn't at one time or another said something they wish they could take back?
I doubt it.
A man or a woman.
I doubt it.
And what I'm feeling for Donald Trump is that that's the attitude that I want in office. That's the man I want running this country. Not necessarily abusing people or being misinterpreted, but that's who Donald Trump is. Saying sorry to him might show a weakness. And not that he doesn't in his heart feel that way, or wishes had never said it, but allowing that to happen, we need him to be compromised.
I got you. Frankie, I think you're probably right. I think you're right. Stand by. A lot more to come, including the Hannity
okay.
debate.
I would like to make your
I'd like to say I'm sorry, but I won't. I believe that's what Donald Trump is thinking right now. I would like to say I'm sorry, but I won't. Because he just doesn't say he's sorry. He should. South Carolina did. They're lowering that Confederate flag as soon as this afternoon, but certainly by tomorrow. The battle flag of the Confederacy will not be flying. It's the way Charleston and the state of South Carolina are saying they are sorry to the victims of that horrifying church massacre. Even though it's a proud state with a proud heritage, they swallowed their pride because they understood that that emblem, while historic and representing heritage to many South Carolinians, to some, it represented oppression and slavery and racism. And so to a nod to that population, South Carolina has done the right thing. I want Donald Trump to do the right thing. Donald Trump, you can argue the substance of his remarks until you're blue in the face. It doesn't matter. Pro-immigration, anti-immigration, pro-comprehensive immigration reform, pro-border fence, pro-border security, pro-deportation of undocumented immigrants, whatever your position, it doesn't matter. You can have a civilized debate without insulting an entire race of people. He should say he's sorry, like I did last night. To my wife.
And will probably this afternoon again.
And again. That's right. Every time I look at Doc, I'm so sorry. So when was the last time you said you were sorry?
Oh, God. You know, I'm a husband, so it happens pretty often. I see that you're going out to a nice meal tonight. I'm sure that has something to do with it. Trying to get into that top-notch restaurant. That's the ultimate thank you. That's the ultimate I'm sorry. Hey, better than flowers.
I'm sorry, baby. Let's say I'm sorry over this frozen margarita. All right. Now, I appreciate your calls at 866-HERALDO. It's all about your calls for the rest of the show. But before I get to them, I want to play you 6 minutes of my debate last night with Sean Hannity. Obviously, it was pegged to that scumdog undocumented immigrant from Mexico who shot and murdered the 32-year-old innocent woman walking on Fisherman's Wharf. Shot her in the back. No reason, no rhyme, not a robbery. Nobody knows what the hell the guy was thinking about when he took the stolen .40 caliber and shot the woman in the back. Obviously, the horrifying and unnecessary death from this person who had done 3 terms in federal prison for illegal reentry. 15 years he spent in federal prison for illegal reentry into the country. A guy with 7 felony convictions, you know, obviously it fueled the whole notion that, you know, that Trump may have been right about Mexican immigrants. I mean, I disagree, obviously. But Sean and I, starting from the point of the horrible crime in San Francisco, then went on to debate the undocumented immigrant situation in the country. So this excerpt starts with me remarking, Sean, I thought unfairly, but I love the guy, but I thought unfairly, he led into my segment with 3 different family members of other crimes committed by undocumented immigrants, in which the 3 families all lost loved ones to other wretched, crime-riddled, undocumented immigrants from Mexico. So it starts with me. Here it is.
My heart goes out to the victims of these crimes as they do to the victims of any crimes. When you use these anecdotes, though, to make the broader point that you're making about undocumented immigrants, you can't deny, Sean, that these monstrous criminals, like the person who shot the 32-year-old woman in San Francisco, these people have as much in common with the vast majority of undocumented immigrants, criminals, as we have in common with James Holmes in Aurora, Colorado. Adam Lanza in Newport, Connecticut.
Your point.
Or those 4 black people who were killed in the last 12 hours
that's
in Baltimore.
But that's not the issue.
I mean, those 4 black people killed in Baltimore are not reflective of the African-American population.
I'm conceding your point, but here's the problem. Even if we do deport them, they come back. You know why they can get back? Because we don't secure the border.
But this beast, this scum dog who killed the woman in San Francisco, remember, this guy did almost 15 years in jail, in federal prison, for felony reentry.
Our
in other
government
words, he was
under Obama's
up, he was put in jail, and he stayed in
he
jail
went
three
to San
different
Francisco
three
because
different
it's a sanctuary city, and America under Obama's become a sanctuary country.
Those kinds of problems, why this particular violent... Why was this man on the streets anyway? He has 7 felony convictions.
I'm
why
agreeing.
Isn't he behind bars for life?
Listen, last
what
year,
happened for, to 3 strikes, you're out?
Last year,
but,
they,
but my,
last year we
but
released 37,000 illegal immigrants that were convicted of crimes. Guess what, Geraldo? Of those 37,000, 193 killed Americans, 426 sexual assaults, 303 kidnapping convictions. You know, how stupid a country are we that we not only let you out, let you stay, and don't send you back?
That is in a population of 11 million or more. They commit crimes at a lesser rate. They commit crimes at a lesser rate than citizens.
Actually,
that has been proven.
No, it
has been proven. I have the surveys.
I have the surveys.
Unless you have surveys from political activists rather than scientists, everything I've seen done by anybody from the middle of the road indicates they are less criminally prone than citizens.
We can throw statistics at each other. I have some.
But why not?
But the bottom line is the problem, Geraldo, is our borders are insecure. Even if we send people back.
I grant that.
Listen,
I grant that. I've got no problem with
it. But I've been to the border. I understand why people want to come here.
Put up a wall 100 miles high.
That's
fine with me. That's fine. And you put up a wall 100 miles high, people like this murderer in San Francisco will get a 100-mile, 1-foot fence to climb it. If these dogged criminals, this guy went to jail for 15 years and for felony reentry. This is not a typical person. I have one other point I have to make.
What?
Wouldn't it be as justifiable to say, okay, here are these 300,000 crimes committed by undocumented. Now here is 11 million people who walked their children to school today, who did the dirty jobs Americans wouldn't do.
I don't believe I washed dishes. I worked in restaurants. I was a busboy, waiter, bartender.
Did you ever go to a meatpacking plant?
Excuse me. I painted
houses. Process poultry?
I've done so many jobs in my life. Custodial work. I've done it all.
All right. You find the people who are going to clean the toilets, who are going to pick the grapes.
I painted the houses. I washed the dishes. I cooked the food.
My point is that these horrible crimes, these anecdotes, as horrific as they are, do not reflect the vast majority.
Listen, I am not doubting. I understand if I'm at the border and I'm in San Diego and I see poverty on one side and milk and honey on the other, I'm going to the other side to work. The vast majority. But here's the problem. Along with the vast majority that want jobs, so too are these criminals and rapists, a small minority, but they're committing crimes, killing Americans, committing sexual crimes.
You hate President Obama's executive order now being enjoined by a federal court.
Americans are dying,
because
Geraldo.
President Obama wants to give a kind of amnesty to undocumented immigrants who have been here 10 years or more, have committed no crimes, have citizen children born in this country. This is the kind of person that have built America.
Those people that cross the border for work, the most of them, and these murderers, dogs, they slander the hard work and toil of people who just want to do what our parents came from. We have a vulnerability. And if somebody that wants a job crosses over, so too can ISIS, and so too can people from Al-Qaeda. And I'm saying America has a responsibility to those three parents that lost loved ones who we had in our criminal justice system and didn't send back in some cases, or they could just walk across again. Our government is responsible for the death of their children.
There has never been a verified terrorist penetration from the southern border. There have been from Canada, never from Mexico.
I want to secure the Canadian border.
Not one time has there been. But there's not the same kind of emotion. Because of Donald Trump, who I love and admire,
billions.
Because of his sloppy rhetoric, there's this image of a brown tide of scum dog murderers pouring across
you
the border.
You know I'm not saying
it's
that.
Not true.
I understand people want America.
I was in Paterson, New Jersey.
Let me finish. I understand they want this opportunity. Do it legally.
They are not. These murderers are not the face of the undocumented
immigrants. We have an obligation to the American citizen for their security and safety.
And I'll build a fence with you. You, me, and Trump, we'll build the fence. That's okay.
You're going to go down there and hammer nails?
Oh, I just don't want this kind of racial, ethnic slander that happens.
No, but who's using that?
Not you, brother.
I'm not. I would never would. I actually, if I was on that side of the fence, I would come over here.
And you'd come over here and you'd do whatever it took to feed your
family. Yeah, of course.
This person should never have been on the streets.
So that's me and Sean last night.
I was hoping it would come to blows. He would kick his ass. I mean, I used to work with Sean here. I think nothing against him, but it just would have been fun to see you do
that. But he's a mixed martial art guy now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got a trainer.
Oh,
he's like breaking blocks of wood.
Oh, you would have lost that battle.
77 WABC.
5 minutes after 11 o'clock. So you heard my great debate with Sean Hannity. You know, Sean and I, it's interesting, Noam, that you say you wanted it to come to blows. We have very, very different ideas. You would say, I mean, because Sean is an unabashed, unapologetic conservative. Sean is all about the right, much more so than, I think, Bill O'Reilly, who, you know, has some positions that are mushier than that, are more more toward the center, more toward my point of view in some of these areas. And yet, Sean and I have the greatest relationship, and always have. He's always been so courteous to me, and even when, you know, down in the dumps when none in the Fox audience would care about my point of view, he'd put me on regardless. And in terms of our private relationship, I mean, they're not going to give away, but I mean, we have a very close camaraderie that's very real. That's one thing about Fox, I have to say. It gets a bad stereotypical rap that it's all about one thing. It's not all about one thing. I mean, I am arguably one of the most incendiary figures. I mean, I'm not blowing my horn. It's just that I have points of view that are very sharp and often at odds with the constituency that you would think is the normal Fox constituency. And still, I'm still there. And I see now we're celebrating 50 straight quarters at number one in cable news.
Wow, 50
straight quarters. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Okay, but back to the substance. Enough about my relationships there. What are you thinking now? It's about our theme and going back to, and I'm not stretching here. I believe that Trump can still redeem everything. Let me just first of all, I want to invite him to have dinner with me at a Mexican restaurant. I think that would be a great gesture. He's had some bad news on that front. We alluded to it in the first hour, but among the other consequences that Trump has suffered as a result of his incendiary remarks, losing Miss Universe, or rather the airing of Miss Universe on the Univision network, losing the Celebrity Apprentice, you know, various other deals, Macy's and so forth. The one we were thinking about is he's starting a new hotel, a new big international hotel in Washington, D.C. that promises to be a sensational facility, as all of the Trump properties are. But the celebrity chef, Jose Andreas, is backing out of the restaurant deal, this big restaurant deal that he had with Trump in D.C. that was going to be a very, very big deal. And here's what Jose Andreas said. He said, more than half my team is Hispanic, as are many of our guests. And as a proud Spanish immigrant who recently became a naturalized citizen myself, I believe that every human being deserves respect regardless of immigration status. And then he goes on, you know, to say why he's backing out of this deal. But guess what? In this particular case, unlike Macy's, it sounds like Trump is not allowing Jose Andreas to back out. Trump Jr., whose kid goes to school whose daughter goes to school with mine. Our relationship with Jose Andreas, said Donald Trump Jr. in a statement, has always been a good one. But simply put, Jose has no right to terminate or otherwise abandon his obligations under the lease. In the event Mr. Andreas defaults in the performance of his obligations, we will not hesitate to take legal action, recover all unpaid rent for the entire 10-year term, together with all attorney's fees and additional damages we may sustain. Mr. Andreas' obligations under the lease are clear and unambiguous, added Donald Trump Jr. We will enforce the exclusivity provisions preventing Mr. Andreas from opening a competing restaurant anywhere in the D.C. area.
It doesn't sound like, and you are the lawyer here, that Chef Andreas really has anywhere to move except to follow this agreement. If you sign a 10-year lease with this soon-to-be hotel, then you'd think you'd have to follow through on it, no? Is there an out for him saying, I don't like the politics of the person who owns this building?
You could also say that the same exact thing about Univision having a contract to air Miss Universe. There's an ironclad contract, and there is a breach of contract lawsuit that is possible. And for all the bluster, you ask me a legal question, for all the bluster and all the criticism surrounding Trump, a contract is a contract. And unless a contract has a clause involving moral turpitude, in which there are specific areas, if you do such and such, I can break this contract. Networks often have contracts like that with talent. Like if you become, a child pedophile, then I can not honor this contract. Right. I have reason to get out of it. I know of no such clause in this case, nor do I know of any court that might construe Trump's remarks as moral turpitude. It would seem to me that he has some real standing and he has a real cause of action for breach of contract. It would seem to me, if he cares to go that route. Continuing on our theme. Sorry. So South Carolina with a major, I'm sorry, or at least I understand your pain. As Noam Layden is reporting, the battle flag of the Confederacy will be lowered on the grounds of the state capitol tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I think they should have a ceremony because there is, and African Americans admit and agree that there is a substantial constituency who sincerely believes that the flag has nothing about racism, means nothing about race or slavery. And they understand that it is a give by many white Southerners, South Carolinians, Charlestonians, to lower the flag from the state capitol grounds. I mean, it is appreciated, this grand gesture. It's a wonderful thing that we're seeing. I'm suggesting to Donald Trump that he take this as an example of how you can disagree without being disagreeable. How you can be concerned about border security without making incendiary claims about Mexicans being rapists and drug dealers and murderers. That's all I'm saying. It's an easy fix. Some people won't accept the apology. Some people say, well, yeah, screw it. I don't care. But still, he should do it. He should do it just because it will, in some cosmic, karmic way, it'll straighten out a score that I'm sure he wish he never got engaged in.
Do you have an idea of how he should make and where he should make this apology?
Well, I'd love him to come with me to a Mexican restaurant. I invite him.
So it would be you, him, at a Mexican restaurant?
Yeah, and Erica could come. Melania, his wife, would come. We'd just sit around and then, step outside. The press would be there and just say, I just had a quesadilla and, I drank water. Geraldo drank six margaritas. And I just want to say, I didn't mean to suggest that this whole nation was a nation of rapists and drug dealers and murderers. And Mexico is our friend. And we'll deal with these border problems. They are severe. No one is denying that they are severe. I was right about bringing attention to the border situation and illegal immigration. You could say it any way he wants to, but I did not mean to hurt anybody's feelings. And for that, I am sorry. Could say it.
When they serve the guacamole, you know how they make it at the table?
Yeah.
Just make sure they make a separate bowl for you because you don't want to dip your tortilla chip into his. Because if it's a Mexican worker making his, you just don't want your tortilla chip.
Do you remember all those stories about how the Jones Beach concession, how they were spitting in the clam chowder?
So nasty.
I just read so nasty. Just remembered that from high school. You just brought back a memory from high school. All right, what are you thinking about? 42 minutes after? Oh, our buddy Paul's been patient from Queens. What's up, Paul?
Hey, let me ask you a question. In regards to, you know, the government of Mexico, don't they owe an apology to the people in San Francisco or Andre Jamal Carter? I mean, sorry.
Now why is it that this murderer, because he's Mexican, becomes the Mexican problem? I mean, I don't quite understand that. I mean, is Adam Lanza your problem, Paul? Paul, answer my question. Paul, answer my question. Is Adam Lanza your problem?
Let me answer.
Is James Holmes your problem? Jared Loeffner, is he your problem?
But if we had somebody in another country that killed somebody, then yeah, you know what? You think the government wouldn't apologize?
Well, you know, you're going to apologize to every country where an American has committed a crime?
No, we're talking about the people that are coming here. Jamal Andre Shaw was a young kid, got killed by a banger that was supposed to be a dreamer. Where is that? I mean, does Black Lives Matter or not? Or are you just being picky?
Paul,
that was on the news.
If you believe that every race has a communal responsibility to apologize for anything any member of their race or ethnicity does. Paul, bugging me. Everybody's welcome, except when you bug me. Hi, Andre from Hicksville. How are you?
Hi. I'm calling because regarding what you wanted Donald Trump to apologize for what he said about illegal
Mexicans
coming across the border, and I emphasize illegal and criminal. I also think that you should apologize as well for what you said earlier about some Chinese hacker breaking into the stock exchange and stealing your money. I'm sure you don't hate all Chinese people, but I don't think you'd want them all to boycott you.
Well, that's a good point, Andre. I appreciate that. Now, obviously, what I meant was the government of China, which is a notorious hacking operation. It seemed to me that the shutting down of the New York Stock Exchange and the United Airlines and the Wall Street Journal's website all virtually simultaneously had the hallmarks of a Chinese hacker. I didn't mean an ethnic Chinese hacker. I meant the Chinese government. And Andrea, if you're right and the Chinese people listening thought that was an attack on them, I apologize for that. Oh, I don't know, man. Hey, John in Oyster Bay. Hey, John, what are you thinking about? John, you there? I don't know where John went. How about Tom in New Jersey? What's up, Tom?
Hi, how you doing, Geraldo?
Good.
I'm a little nervous, so you know, be patient with me.
But I will. Go ahead.
Here's where I think you're missing the point with why Trump's getting so much traction. I think the difference, if we go back to, I mean, he's coming across as a founding father. When you stand up and say, this is what I believe, this is what I think is right, regardless of what it costs me personally. And everybody, every time somebody comes out and says, I'm going to cancel this, I'm going to cancel that, they reinforce for us that this guy has got our back so much that he's taken a hit personally. And I'm telling you, that rings with America. That rings with everybody. Somebody who is willing to step up. You point to any other politician that we got, and there's the difference. This guy is coming across as a statesman, as opposed to a politician who you can't shake that tree without them all falling out for having pocketed money from insider trading or God knows what they've been doing all these years. And here's a guy who's standing up saying, this is going to cost me personally, but it's the right thing. I don't care how he says it. You know, and it doesn't matter to me. The point is, whether we have illegals committing crimes, not committing crimes, the border's got to be sealed. It was voted on. It was approved. They never did it. And I got to tell you, for the amount of money that they went, but I'm getting off topic. The point is, what Trump is doing is costing him, and I'm telling you, we're all there for him.
All right,
we're
Tom. I appreciate that. Very honest assessment. And there must be, somebody must be making a calculation that Tom's sentiments are more beneficial and more prominent and helping Trump in this process and burnishing his image as someone who will do whatever it takes to do the right thing, even if it costs him $50 or $80 million, as our pal Charlie Gasparino estimated. I personally think you can accomplish the same result without saying something that is so hurtful to so many people so unnecessarily.
Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
We're going to get back to Trump tomorrow because obviously it's not going away. The front page of the Daily News, Giants star loses finger. I was so dismayed. I am such a big fan on the woeful New York Giants squad of Jason Pierre-Paul. I mean, a terrific defensive end. I think he's the best player on the whole team now. He was about to sign he got a one-year offer from the team, $15 million, and he blew off his right index finger with a fireworks. Guns Gunzelman joins us right now. I mean, what the hell, Guns?
Oh, surprise, surprise. Another athlete makes a dumb, idiot mistake. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, this is not only going to cost him physically, as his finger's gone and, you know, he's got burns and, you know, there were rumors that he might need skin graft surgery or something like that, but also monetarily, because he was just about to sign a $60 million contract. And when are athletes going to realize or learn, don't do activities that can put yourself in jeopardy or danger? I mean, Aaron Boone, who was the third baseman for the Yankees, went and played basketball, ended up hurting his leg, and then A-Rod came in and he never played again. So, I mean, these people need to learn that when you have, you know, so much money on the line, but also your own health, and it's not even just Jason Pierre-Paul, it's the fact that C.J. Wilson, the Buccaneers cornerback, also blew off his hand this past weekend as well with fireworks. He lost his middle finger and index finger.
Oh, man.
So these are two athletes that both did the same exact thing over one weekend.
Horrifying, horrifying. But in Jason Pierre-Paul's case specifically, Guns Unselman, the sports guru here at WABC, how much is he handicapped? He's a defensive end, so you tackle.
Right.
So what? Where's the handicap now having an impact on his play?
Well, the same person from ESPN, Adam Schechter, who said who broke this story. Which, by the way, the Giants only found out that he had his finger amputated from this ESPN report. So they're not even in. So talk about negotiation right there, strategy. That is not really good for renegotiation. But so he'll be. The same guy says that he will be playing later this year, that he thinks he'll be back this season. So, I mean, depending on how much of the finger was actually amputated, if there's still a stub there or whatnot, they'll probably just bandage it up. It'll be almost like a club that he'll just have it so bandaged. It's going to hurt, but he'll still be able to play because he's a defender.
But you can't rap, though. You can't jump up and knock down passes.
Right, but he's still so good that he might be able to.
How do you
so
pull somebody down? Stupid. Like, I was thinking that's a pretty important finger when you're trying to grab somebody.
Right.
It's like trying to eat a sandwich with no thumbs. It's pretty hard to do.
It's pretty hard to do. And writing and everything else. Yeah. I'm so sad about this. So stupid.
It's something that Jets or the Mets would do, not a Giants player.
That's true.
Stupid. Yeah. All right, Guns, thanks. All right, tomorrow we're going to go back. I'm sorry I didn't get to the calls, all the calls. Tomorrow it's going to be all about you. Obviously, this is a discussion. I think that it will all happen here. This is my prediction. This whole Trump thing is going to be hashed out here, and it's going to be worked out here. And if it's not worked out here, it's not going to be worked out. See you right here tomorrow. Thanks for listening.